want to begin by thanking Laura for really putting this whole service together, which is a beautiful thing, where we're going to be walking through the Christian year. And there's, you know, during the year, there's a lot of things that occur and changes and so forth. And there's beautiful theological background to that. And so let me share what she was going to share with you at this point. That we're going to be taking a journey together through the liturgy of the Christian year and taking you through the entire Christian year. It's going to be condensed into the next hour. And we move from Advent to Christmas to Epiphany to pre-Lent to Lent to Easter, Eastertide, Ascensiontide. And don't worry about it, because by the end of this hour, you're going to understand all these things. Pentecost, ending with the Trinity season. We're going to be hearing about scriptures that support every one of these changes. We're going to be singing some of the hymns, so it's going to be kind of funny that we're going to be singing some. We're going to go backwards, and we're going to start singing some Christmas hymns, and then go all through and jump forwards through Easter, so we can better understand and participate in this living history of our faith that we experience every Sunday and throughout the year. And thinking about this, we think about the liturgical year. We have our calendar year. Some of us work in business on fiscal years, but we have a liturgical year, and we think about, you know, can you imagine life without a calendar, without certain changes and seasons and so forth? And before humanity developed a calendar as we know it, time was measured by changes in nature and moons and sunrise and sunset and so forth. And just as God's universe has a rhythm and flow to it, the Christian year also has this rhythm and flow. So the observance of the seasons of the year has a long, long history, really from towards the beginning of Christianity, when most people in the church, they were poor, without formal education. And the church celebrations and the church year provided a means of teaching the story of God and the story of our faith and God's actions in history. The roots of the Christian traditions are founded in back in Jewish celebrations, and they revolve around from the time of Exodus of Egypt, and they focus then, we work through the ministry of Jesus Christ. The rest of the church year provides an opportunity to reflect on the meaning of Jesus' life and teachings and his commission to all of his people to go out and to be the light of the world. So as we move through the church calendar, we are presented with this in an organized way and with the opportunity to talk about and reflect on and respond to the entire range of faith that lie at the heart of our Christian faith. And this is important not only for the strength of the whole church family, but especially for our children as well. And I'm just going to put us all in that category this morning, because there's a lot I know that we all don't know. And so that we all may become aware of the framework of our community of celebration and these things that are important to our faith. So join us as we begin on this journey from the manger to the cross and into the many seasons of God's love. Let all things now living the joy of thanksgiving.
Good morning, and welcome to this special service. Please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. In every season of our lives, let us worship God with hearts full of awe and wonder.
For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven.
In each new heartbeat of hope and in every day of our life, time is God's gift offered to us.
Let us receive every hour as a blessing and recognize every day as a chance to deepen our relationship with God. Let us awaken to the dawning of God's giving forth into the world and to the whispers of God's peace.
Let us pray. God of the past, in the wilderness of Jordan, you sent a messenger to prepare humanity for the coming of the Christ. We rejoice that through the centuries, that message of hope has brought confidence of joy to people. God of the present, even now you are among us. Forgive us that often we have failed to discern your presence within us. Make strong in our hearts the faith that enables us to live serenely and triumphantly. God of the future, teach us to live in expectation that what we are and do today may be anchored in the certainty of your tomorrow. Through the grace of Jesus Christ, we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Seated.
Good morning. The Christian year commences with the Advent season. It begins with Sunday, nearest November 30th, and lasts through Christmas Eve. It's the season of preparation for the Advent, the coming of the Messiah, the birth of Jesus Christ. When we think of the greatest miracle and mystery of the ages, the incarnation, the Word becoming. Flesh, God coming in the world in human form, it's plain to see that we need recollection and preparation, ready to receive our God this way. Advent provides us with 4 weeks to prepare our hearts for the celebration of the birth of the Christ child. Slowly, our church begins to fill with the sights, sounds, and smells of Advent. Purple is the color used through the Advent season. It has long been the color of royalty, and the church uses it to call her members to prepare for the birth of the King. The music we hear and sing prepares us for Christ's birth.
All children would come forward for the children's sermon, please. I know it's a little funny because of the Advent table, so if you want to sit on this side, that would be great. Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Who can tell me what this is? A 2020 calendar, yes. And what do we put in our 2020 calendar? Yeah, but Yeah, dates, stuff that we're going to do. Why is that stuff that we're going to do important? Yeah, exactly. So you don't forget what it means to us. Do you think that as a church, we might have a sort of special calendar every year? Yeah. Yeah? You think so? So you're right. As a church, we have a special calendar every single year that tells us those important dates so that we don't forget why they're important to us, right? And Mr. Jeffrey Earls just talked about one particular season that's important to us. Does anybody remember what it was called? Advent, exactly. What happens during Advent? Preparing for the birth of Jesus, you're right. And that's so important, right? That's what our whole faith is built around, is that preparing for the birth of Jesus, the presence of Jesus in our lives. What other important things happen, you think, during the course of our church calendar? Yeah, Christmas happens, exactly. What else? New Year's, yep, sometimes we celebrate New Year's. There's another big, important one. Yes, sweetie?
Easter,
exactly. So Christmas and Easter are two really big calendar events that we celebrate as a church community, just us, and as a big worldwide Christian community, right? So it's especially important that we make sure that we're paying attention not only to our calendar that tells us our birthdays or important things that we need to be going to, but also that we're paying attention to the Christian calendar, and to all of those things, those days, those seasons that are really important because they connect us to God and they remind us to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. So let's pray and then let's go to chapel. Dear God, thank you for all the special days and all the special seasons where you are with us. Remind us that you are always with us and that your calendar always holds love. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Excellent. You all can go to chapel now, but pause your bodies for 1 second. If you are with fun friends, you are going to be, and if you're with middle school, you're going with Lauren. And if you're with fun friends, if you could pause right there on the bench and wait for somebody to come with you, that would be great. So fun friends, you know who you are. You're not a fun friend.
Be seated. See, things are moving and changing. It's very interesting. And so we begin with Advent. And at our church, we mark the season of Advent in a number of different ways. We do so with scripture readings. We do so with the sermons. We do so with the music. And everything focuses on preparing ourselves spiritually for the season, with the focus on the birth of Christ and new and changes and transitions and everything that is involved with that. And we also notice other changes as well. There's the visual changes, transformation of our sanctuary. There are candles that we have in every window that we still have here that remind us of Christ being the light of the world. And we have poinsettias at the time of Advent, traditional flower of Christmas, and they fill the dais. We have wreaths that hang throughout the sanctuary, on every door of the church. And then, of course, there's the Advent wreath that we have here. We brought back this morning as a center focal point in our sanctuary during the 4 weeks of Advent. And that invites us to not only visually see and participate in the lighting of the candles, but again, to bring the focus of God's order into our lives.
Please join me in the Advent wreath litany. Christians around the world wait in hopeful expectation for the advent of Christ.
We live in hope for our families, our church, and for our world.
Because we're people who believe, a people who have seen, and a people who have received the promises of Christ, even in the midst of darkness and imperfection, we live with real hope, with real peace, with real love, and with real joy in our hearts as we remember again the greatest gift of love given to this world, the gift of Christ.
We live our lives more abundantly when we live lives filled with hope, peace, love, and joy, and we welcome the light of Christ into our hearts.
Advent concludes with our Christmas Eve candlelight services. During this time, we let the scriptures speak for themselves as we listen to the story of the birth of Jesus, sing the songs that we have known all our lives, and reconfirm our belief that Christ came into this world to shine God's love upon us. This is a glorious time to usher in the Christmas season, and we're reminded that through the exchange of gifts, we celebrate the ultimate gift, Jesus Christ.
Christmastide begins with Christmas morning, and it continues through the eve of Epiphany, which is January 5th. There are usually two Sundays in this season, and it is strictly an observance of the birth of Jesus the Christ. White is the color used for the antipodia and stoles because it is the color of perfection, purity, joy, and holiness.
The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing.
Our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment, when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, they came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
At this time of year, we are reminded of the tensions we live with every day. We want peace, but parts of our world are at war. We hope for the destruction of the powers of evil and for the righteousness and justice of God, for the dawning of God's peace over all nations and the undoing of the machines of war. For Christians, this hope has been intensified by the coming of the Messiah, and only by experiencing these tensions and the expectations of the whole laboring together to achieve this can our participation in the dying and rising of Christ be made real. Please join me in the responsive reading. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder.
And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.
This sheds new light on our celebrations of Christmas and the days immediately following it. Christmas is far richer and deeper than a sentimental remembrance of the birth and childhood of Jesus. Joy to the world, the Lord has come, means that Jesus has come into our lives and that we have accepted him as our Savior. Because we understand Christmas this way, our worship services here at Southport Congregational Church are capable of addressing the deepest places of our human need and then celebrate our most profound experiences.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and my child, holy
The season of Epiphany begins on January 6th and lasts until the third Sunday before Lent. Epiphany Sunday marks the coming of the wise men to represent the races of humanity. The season of Epiphany is the time of the Christian year that we emphasize missionary work, because when the wise men found Christ, it was the first appearance of Jesus to the Gentiles or non-Jews. And as the wise men returned to their own countries and told everyone about the Messiah, whom they had found, they began the missionary work of spreading the good news to the world.
Our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi, from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Kings of Orient are tearing gifts we traverse so far, field and fountain, vale and mountain, yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
The Sundays following Epiphany, we use the color green as we move from Christ's own baptism through his teachings, his miracles, and the wonders he's performed in his early ministry. We listen to scripture and hear Christ's words, and we understand that Christ is still speaking to us in our own time and place.
Our most loving God, we offer you our thanks for this day, for our life, for our opportunity to be here together in our love of one another and in your love, in your healing, in your blessing and peace and strength and courage. For this time that we can put aside some concerns of our daily lives and let go of the demands that usually tug at us, and just be able to be present here in your spirit and with one another. And as we do so, we offer prayers of thanksgiving for life and all those things that make life so good. For our breath, for our heartbeat, for our hands that can move and our legs that can move, for our eyes that can see, for the beauty of a sunset, the smile of a stranger, a song from a bird, the hug or helping hand from a loved one. And with all of these blessings, we know that for many, the world holds more sorrow than joy. So help us, God, to work with you as your disciples to make this earth a safe home for all of your children. And we admit that though your earth is abundant, many of your children and our neighbors live in poverty, live in want, can't even get simple medical care or help or the surgeries. We know from your words and through prophets and apostles that this is neither your will nor your purpose. So fill us with the gift of hope and generosity, and may you drive our perseverance to do your will so that all people might share fairly in the good things of your creation and be able to thank you and know your blessing. And with that, we bring you our concerns for also peace and safety in our community and our world, our concerns for gun violence in whatever form it takes. We bring our concerns for refugees, for those living in fear. We bring you personal concerns for ourselves and our families. And in all these things, we ask for the strength to face the hard realities of our world, and not in despair, but with courage that you give us to stand with the vulnerable, to act with love with the victims of violence and injustice, and to give those who live on the margins of life your hope. Because we are also a people of great joy and hope, God. We thank you for your promise of being with us, in us, and through all things. In your spirit, we pray. Amen.
Christ's message to us is clear. We are to love God, love our neighbors, and love ourselves. One of the ways we show our love is through helping hands, another through activism to ensure equality and civil liberties, and another is through the sharing of our monetary gifts. In the spirit of sharing and giving, our morning offering will be received.
Thank you. Jesus Christ is Lord. While shepherds kept their watching for silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
And prayer of dedication found in your bulletin. Our faith in you reveals itself in the generosity with which we give. Accept these offerings as a sign of our love for you and our commitment to honor you in our world. Amen.
The Sundays following Epiphany and preceding Lent, we look at the earthly life of Jesus. We see him as a young boy teaching in the temple. We see him as a powerful preacher bringing God's word into the world. We see him as a healer and miracle worker who restores people to health. We see him as a teacher with profound wisdom, and we see him as our Savior.
At the heart of the Christian faith is our participation in the life, suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ as Lord, the season of Lent. We proclaim that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ was born into human history in the fullness of time for our salvation. In our world, he lived and taught, suffered, and was put to death. But God raised him from the dead and made him sit at the right hand. And God has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills in all. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are delivered from sin and death, and by the Holy Spirit, we are born into eternal life with God. This is what we confess, and this is what we continually renew in our worship during Lent. Since the beginning of Christian worship, these events have given shape and meaning to the week, the whole year, and even to each day of the Christian community's life. Purple is the color used during Lent, the color which calls us to self-exploration and preparation.
Ash Wednesday developed as a day of penitence to mark the beginning of Lent, the 40 days of preparation for the celebration of Easter. Ash Wednesday is a particular time for new beginnings in the faith. It's a time for returning to prayer and meditation. This is also a time when we put away our transgressions and failures of the past in the light of who we are yet to become by the grace of God in the future. Lent continues from Ash Wednesday for 40 days, not including Sundays. Lent is observed in commemoration of the 40 days fast of Jesus, a season of penance as we remember the sufferings of Christ and the price he paid for our redemption. It is also considered the revival season of the church, as Christians seek through worship, prayer, music, education, and mission to reach a higher plane of spiritual living and to renew their commitment to the fellowship of Christ's church. The final week of the Lenten season is called Holy Week. It is filled with symbolic days and Christian worship events. Holy Week begins on Palm Sunday. This is the Sunday before Easter and is the day that we remember Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem when the crowd waved palm branches and sang, "Hosanna to the King!" We give out palms on this Sunday as symbolic reminders that Christ made that journey for us.
Now, the timeliness of this is that Ash Wednesday that we just heard about is coming up actually in 2.5 weeks. So we actually just passed, I don't know if you felt it, but we just passed from the past, and now we're actually slightly ahead of ourselves at this point. And now we talk about, we move to actually towards the end of Lent, where the Thursday evening that we know well in our church is called Maundy Thursday. And it comes from the Latin word Maundatum Novum, that means a new commandment. And that's because it was on this night Jesus gave his disciples and gave us the new commandment. And we shifted from the old commandment to the new commandment, the Old Testament to the New Testament. And he told us to drink this cup, break this bread in remembrance of him. And specifically in our church, on this night, Maundy Thursday, our deacons provide a wonderful, moving, poignant service that includes first an abbreviated traditional Seder meal with the Jewish symbolic foods that are eaten on Passover. And that's understood to be the meal that Jesus shared with his disciples that we know of as the Last Supper. And then in that service, we make the transition and we move from celebrating our Jewish heritage to focus on the spiritual basis of our faith. And with that, the deacons reenact the very powerful and moving events of the Last Supper with a candlelight service. And in that service, Jesus gave, we remember Jesus' last message and his actions that he shared with his disciples with scripture readings. And we relive the Last Supper, the breaking of the bread, the sharing of the cup, where he said, "This is my body and this is my blood of the new covenant." And he gave us the command that we forever do this in remembrance of him. On that night, together, we also re-experience what took place in the final hours of his life, starting with that Thursday night. And it's called the service of Tenebrae. That means shadows. And we extinguish the lights and we experience the growing darkness of the next hours of events on Maundy Thursday. From Maundy Thursday to the betrayal, to being in the garden, to his arrest and the trial and the crucifixion. And then on Good Friday, the following day, we reflect on the crucifixion and death of Christ. The name Good Friday, and you can see this in your bulletins, is a variation of God's Friday. A lot of people wonder, you know, how can you call it good on the day that he was crucified? So one strand of history tells us that the word good replaced the word God because there's a certain point in history where you know, the hoi polloi, us, we weren't considered holy enough sometimes to get that close to God, to even say the name of God for the average person. And so it went from God's Friday to Good Friday. Here in our church, we hold a prayer vigil from noon until 6 p.m. We've had it in the chapel. We have it here. And we open our doors for people to come in and meditate and reflect and pray. And when we have that in the chapel is bare except for the cross. And the cross is draped in a black cloth. And it's really the most somber day of the entire Christian year. And we just allow ourselves to feel the impact of everything that Jesus went through, his suffering, his death, the betrayal, what it feels like to have your friends abandon you, and to just be very, very alone. And it invites a lot of self-reflection. Sometimes we might think about our own shortcomings, and with that, we move from the burial to the rest and to the emptiness of the tomb.
Our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 15th chapter. In the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last breath. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God."
And we note here, again, as you can see, that according to the ancient historian and theologian Tertullian, this was, in his words, a cosmic or a world event when that crucifixion happened. Phlegon, the Greek author from Caria, wrote a chronology soon after 137 AD. He reported that in the fourth year of the 202nd Olympiad, this would be 33 AD, in the new dating system that didn't occur for another 800 years. So he writes that there was the greatest eclipse of the sun that became night, and that it was the sixth hour of the day. The sixth hour of the day was noon. Just quickly, the first hour of the day, the daylight was divided into 12 sections, the nighttime was divided into 12 sections, so they didn't keep time exactly on the hour and the minute. So that's where they would say, so the sixth hour was half of that daylight time, so that was noon, and that was identical to the gospel's claim that of darkness that occurred in the sixth hour, so dark that even the stars appeared in the heavens. And it's also reported in history that there was a great earthquake in Bithynia, and many things were overturned in Nicaea. And Jesus was believed to have died at the ninth hour, which would have been about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Are you there? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble.
In approaching the worship services of Holy Week, we should not think of each event as an independent entity, but rather as a continually unfolding, unified drama of our salvation, leading up to Easter Sunday. Our scripture comes from Luke, the 24th chapter. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and must be crucified, and on the third day, rise." And they remembered Jesus' words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest.
Easter Sunday begins with our beach service at 8 a.m. at Sasco Hill Beach, led by our confirmation class, and then with our church service at 10 a.m. Our songs rise to the heavens as we share the special time of celebration when we recall the words of St. Paul, "For this perishable nature must put on the imperishable, and this mortal nature must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, the mortal puts on immortality. Then shall come to pass, saying that it is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting?' Thy sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks to be God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." On Easter morning, we are overwhelmed by God's victory and by the enormity of God's mercy and love. We proclaim Christ crucified, dead, and buried, risen, and exalted as the head of the church, the Savior of humanity, and the Lord of all. The faith of the whole church now becomes into focus in the continuing life and communion with Christ. Our faith lives in expectant hope of the kingdom of God. Whatever life we have is a reflection of that life of God is made visible in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Our scripture reading comes from the 28th chapter of Matthew. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see this place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him.'"
The message of Easter permeates the entire period from Easter morning through Pentecost. This is known as the Great 50 Days. While Easter is the Sunday of all Sundays, the glory of the resurrection runs through the days and weeks of Eastertide as a never-ending celebration. We read scriptures about the disciples witnessing the experience of the risen Lord. While the period of Lent was somber, reflective, and watchful, Eastertide is exuberant and full of alleluias and glorias. This is also the time in which we celebrate Confirmation Sunday, when our ninth grade students declare their faith to our church family and are welcomed in as adult members of the Church of Jesus Christ. Because confirmation is the affirmation of the child's baptismal vows, it is historically appropriate for the church to perform many baptisms during Eastertide. The sacrament of baptism is a sign and seal of the covenant of grace, of union with Christ and his resurrection, and our calling to be with God for all time. It declares that the children of Christian parents belong, with us who believe, to the membership of Christ's church and all that Christ claims as his own.
And on the 40th day of Eastertide, which would still be 10 days before Pentecost, we celebrate a date called Ascension Tide, and that marks the ascension of a resurrected Lord to the heaven, where he's crowned with honor and glory as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Ascension Tide begins 40 days after Easter. It's always on a Thursday. It lasts for 10 days, again, until Pentecost. And it's time to remember that God has fulfilled his promise that the disciples would be gifted with the power of the Holy Spirit, allowing them to go out into the world and to spread the good news of Christ.
Our scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter. And Jesus led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them, and it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.
In the Old Testament, the Feast of Pentecost was 50 days after Passover. The Christian church adopted this term when, on the Feast of Pentecost, the disciples and apostles of Jesus were in an upper room waiting to be clothed with the power from on high. When the promised Holy Spirit descended upon them, they were all filled and began to speak the word of God. Many spoke in tongues, prophesied, and later performed healings, and the Holy Spirit gave them the power to witness to their faith in Jesus Christ in such an effective manner that thousands of people accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. This meant that the church, which had always existed in the mind of God, was now a visible reality on earth. And so, we tend to think of this day as the birthday of the church. Red is the color used for Pentecost as a symbol of the Holy Spirit and of the fervor given to the church through the power of God.
Our scripture is from the book of Acts, the second chapter. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the disciples were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit.
And now we come to Trinity Sunday that marks the beginning of the second half of the Christian year. During the first half of the year, there was a focus on the growing understanding of God as creator, and then as Son, the person of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And now the revelation of the Trinity is understood to be complete, where we worship God as the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you know, three different aspects of the same thing. And the season of Trinity lasts until the end of the Christian year, until Advent, the day before Advent. The color is green, and that reflects nature, growth, life, kind of the eternal presence, and it's the longest season of the Christian year, and it focuses on how God works in our lives. And it's a time of instruction, training, and the practice of Christian discipleship and missionary work. It's during this time that our church celebrates, among other things. We celebrate in the fall the priesthood of all believers, where we have Laity Sunday, where the different members lead all the different parts of the service. We have highlight our churches focusing on helping and loving our neighbors. We have Mission Sunday. We lift up our celebration and understanding of the importance of passing down our Christian faith to our children. When we celebrate things like Church School Sunday, Youth Sunday, we have our Welcome Sundays, and then, as they say, so much more. And with that, we've come to the end of our service of the Christian year. We've shared in the highlights of the year from Advent, all the way from Advent to Easter Sunday and beyond, and all year long. We continue to share together in all the aspects of our spiritual journey. As we start, we kneel in the manger, we listen on a hillside, we walk in the streets of Jerusalem, we hear the roar of the mob, we stand beneath the cross, we feel once again all the dynamics of the power and the presence of our faith and all the way through the resurrection. And now may the richness and meaning of our Christian year fill us with thanksgiving, with grace, hope, and peace, and with love as we go into the world, as we share God's love with one another, as we live out Christ's beautiful commandment and invitation to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Amen.
And as we go from this place, as we've walked through the whole year, hopefully with a deeper understanding and greater meaning for our lives, I just want to take the opportunity again to thank our board of deacons, those people who have participated, and Jeff and Tracy Provost. Jeff is once again one of our deacons, and for all of their help, and for the choir, and for your rehearsal, and for singing us through the Christian year as well, and Elaine for leading them. And as we go, may we go with those final words that lead us in really every moment and every decision of our lives, which is, may we love the Lord God with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul, and may we love our neighbor as ourselves. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in this courage and strength, love and peace. Amen.